Thank you, son. It's a blessing to be back tonight at Island Ford Baptist Church. We praise God for His goodness and blessings, and just for how that He's watched over us through the day and cared for us and helped us and give us a good night's rest last night, and then to be able to come and see each one of you here that has gathered for the Word of God and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. To be able to sing the songs of Zion, what a blessing it is. I'm thankful that God gave somebody some good songs and some good music to where that we can use those to worship and praise our God. And thank God that song says, come unto me. And that's an offer of the Lord. He says, come. And if you'll come, He'll meet your need, whatever your need is. It's good to see Brother Durham here from over at Sturgis. I heard him preach last summer or summer before last. I believe it was here. And he brought a wonderful message on washing feet. Talking about how that we are to be servants. And that is so true, is it not? Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. I'm just going to read one verse. This is just kind of a takeoff verse, if you will. And I hope it's not a departure from Scripture, never to return. But that it'll be a text and that I pray that God will use and will help us as we bring the message tonight to the glory of God. Of God. We're thankful for the young men that came to trust Christ last night. And I tell you, they'll never make a better choice than Jesus. Praise God for that. I am sorry for a lot of things I've done, but I've never been sorry for trusting the Lord. Amen. Never have I regretted it for one moment. Ruth chapter 2, in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. We know this is the words of Boaz, and he is speaking unto Ruth, who will later become his wife, who will become an ancestress of the Lord Jesus. Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Is that everybody got it? All right. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you to thank you for your care and for a good day. I bless you for giving us one more day this side of eternity. I pray, Lord, that when we face it in eternity, that you'll be pleased with the way that we used it. I ask you, dear God, now to help me tonight as I preach the Word of God. May the power of the Holy Spirit of God rest upon me. And Father, as I preach, may your words go forth with power, be your power, not mine. I remember what somebody said years ago, that words without the power of God were but puffs of air. And my Father, I pray that you'll take these words that we'll say tonight and that you'll glorify your name through it. And Father, that you'll speak to the hearts of those that may not know Christ as Savior, that they might come unto you. I pray for children of God that are here tonight, Lord, that you'll encourage their hearts with the message that you have given me. And Lord, it encouraged me, and I pray that it'll encourage these to thy glory, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight. You may think it's an unusual thought, but I want to speak to you on God's wings. If you notice this, it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. Now, Boaz apparently is a quite successful farmer. I guess you might call him. And he's out one day looking over his fields, and he's looking to see what they can gather in to put in his garners. And as he does so, as he looks out over that field, he sees a young woman. And I believe in my mind that he forgot about the wheat or the barley. He forgot about what he was gathering in for some finances. And he said, I want to gather her in my arms. And he loved her and cared for her. He began to ask about who that young woman was. Right. He liked her work ethic. Right. He liked what she was doing. When he found out who she was, and he began to find out a little bit about her, then he says, it has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherfore. And he said, the Lord recompense thy work. May God bless you for the effort that you've put forth toward this elderly woman that is your mother-in-law. God bless you for that. But that's not all he says. He says that a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He recognized that that Ruth was not just a beautiful young woman. And I want to say to you, you young men that don't yet have a wife, don't just be looking at outward beauty. Right. Look at what's in a girl's life. Look how she conducts herself in that manner. Right. How she conducts herself toward her elders. Yep. And how that she conducts herself toward her God. Right. Look to see who her God is. Right. And that'll be the most important thing. Yes, so here he is, and he's telling her this. And she becomes, of course, one of the Gentile ancestresses of the Lord Jesus. And as we look at this, he talks about her coming under the care, or trusting under the wings of God. Amen. Now, we know that God is a spirit, and you cannot see a spirit. Right. And God was revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. We know that. Does God literally have wings? You can decide that for yourself. I don't know that we can get that out tonight, and I don't think there's any use of it. But the wings have some things that we might think about as we look at this. There's several references in the Word of God having to do with wings in relation to God. And I believe that as we look at all of them, they tell a story. And so I want to just throw these things out to you tonight, and hope that God will use them to bring glory to Himself. That it'll stir you and remind you, if you are a child of God, that you have a God that has described Himself in such a manner to where that he said about Ruth, that under whose wings you have come to trust.
Amen.
And I believe that we that are saved have some understanding of what he's talking about.
Man.
As I think about this, I'm reminded that Jesus said, as he stood and looked over Jerusalem and wept, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not."
Right.
So he makes reference to the fact that I would have received you, even though you killed the ones that I sent to you to tell you about me. Even though you're such a people as that, I would receive you not because of your goodness, but because of my love for you. I would have received you like a hen would do her chickens. Another one of the scriptures, instead of using her chickens, it says her brood.
Right.
And under the wings. And I grew up on a little mountain farm. And we always had, today they call them barnyard chickens. We just called them chickens. They was everywhere. They wasn't in the barnyard. They was in the, we'd run them out of the yard, as much as we could. And we'd run them out of the garden, but they just fended pretty much for themselves. Those old hens would, in the spring would steal a nest out somewhere maybe or sometimes mom would get a particular setting of eggs. Maybe she wanted some Dominickers. She might get a setting of eggs. We'd take a pencil and we'd mark those eggs so that we could tell if another hen laid an egg in that nest. And so then, eventually that hen would come off. I've forgotten how long it takes. I believe it's 3 weeks. 21 days. And so, that hen would come off and, you know, she might hatch out a few or she might hatch out a lot. But she'd get around, she'd go to scratching, she'd cluck a little bit, and those little chicks would come running, and I don't know what they got out of the ground. I guess, seeds and different things like that, but, she'd do all of that, but every once in a while, a hawk, you could hear a hawk, he'd make that whistle, and he'd come, sailing over, and when he did, that hen would make a particular noise, a clucking noise, and all of those little ones from wherever they were, they'd come running, and mama would hover over them, and they would run under her wings, and she'd settle down and protect them. That's the picture that God has given us about Ruth through Boaz when he said that, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. And those little ones, they trusted the mother hen.
Right.
And I want to tell you today that we can trust our God.
Amen.
How wonderful it is. I believe that we're told the story here when Jesus talks about Jerusalem and about how often he had gathered his, their children together as a hen does her brood. And he said, and you would not. I believe he's telling us that there's salvation, that there's mercy as well as there's protection under the wings of our God. God gives us these illustrations for a purpose. And they ought to help us. And I hope that the next time when you are reading through the scripture and you run across one of the phrases about God's wings, something about His wings, I hope that it will remind you of how wonderful that our God really is. So there's several references through the Word of God, and each one of them is meaningful. Each one of them, I think, is beautiful. And so, not only there in the book of Matthew and Luke, where I just read you about when he talked to Jerusalem, but may I also give you some others. In Exodus 19:4, the Bible says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." He used the majestic eagle to say, "This is the way I delivered you."
Amen.
I don't know where you've ever seen an eagle come down. My wife and I have had the privilege out in Kansas a few times. We used to go by a lake where there would be eagles that would be up on a cliff. And every once in a while, one of those eagles would come down, and it would go down, and it just looks like it just touches the water, and it'll come up with the fish. I've seen them pick up snakes off of the ground and carry them off, and different things like that. But it's, I mean, you just can't see that eagle. I can't without thinking of the power and the strength of that. I'll come back to the eagle in a little while before the message is over, if time allows, but I think here in Ruth, as well as in Psalm chapter 17, verse 8, here's the scripture that says, "Keep me as the apple of thy eye, or as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing."
Amen.
In Psalms 57:1, he says, and this is when David fled from Saul in the cave. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." I see in that God with His wings is describing to us the safety that we can have near Him, under His wings, the care that He has for us. And there's scripture after scripture that gives these things. I've got about 8 or 10 of them under my thought of safety and care. I'm just using a few of them. Psalm 63:7 says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Psalm 91:4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler." And so we see all of those things about the wings of God. Then I want to give you one last one, and that'll be my introduction. Even in the book of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son," S-U-N, with a capital S, "shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stalls." Now, as in this, I see the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he refers to this, that he, the Son of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, will arise with healing in his wings. Amen. I'm glad one day he came. And I'm glad one day he went to the cross. Yes. And I'm glad one day he spoke to my heart. Yes. And I came to him. And safe under his wings, yes, have I been ever since. Yes. And if he needs to rise up and lift his people out of trouble and trials, he's strong enough. He's got wings that he's able to do it. I read a story about eagles. And in that, actually it was a series of sermons rather than a story. But this fellow said that eagles sometimes would do things that their little ones did not like. And in doing so, he used this scripture, Deuteronomy 32:11. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." Now he's talking about Jacob, and he's talking about Israel, if you will. Right. And here's what this fellow said in this sermon. He said, of course, that the eagle would build in a high place. A lot of times they'll build on a cliff. They may even build on the rock, or it may be on a tree out. But they'll take big branches and all of this, and they build a huge nest. And he said that I have read about this in other places. Of course, most birds start out with some more coarse material, and then they get finer when it gets down toward it. That eagle may even pluck out feathers from her breast and to line that nest. And she may bring rabbit skins and things like that and make a nice soft nest for those little birds when they hatch out. And she feeds them and cares for them. And of course the male does also. And as they take care of that, Who would want to leave a nest like that? But every once in a while, maybe one of those little eagles, it just don't want to leave the nest. And it does not want to fly. And so mama will stir up her nest. And I want you to think about this as God being the eagle now, as we look at this. Would you not agree that God does that sometimes in our life? You know, I'd still be in Wilkes County, North Carolina, pastoring Vision Baptist Church if they hadn't run me off. If God had not done this in my heart, I'm convinced my son would still be there. I'm convinced that Joshua would still be there if God had not stirred our nest. And I'm just pointing out our family. God stirred your nest from time to time, no doubt, and you can expect it again. One of the things about revival is God stirring our nest, causing us to become a little bit uncomfortable. As that, in that sermon about this, this fellow used the idea about mama comes in and or one of the eagles, you know, comes in and stirs the nest. She flutters over her wings. Imagine those strong wings. I have read stories about where back, especially in the pioneer days, that eagles sometimes would pick up a small child and take it away. And you imagine that how strong that an eagle is. And so here she is, she's in the nest, and she's a stirring the nest, she's a tearing it up with her talons, and she's fluttering those big wings, maybe 7 feet from tip to tip with a large eagle. And she's a beating those little ones. Ow! I can imagine those little ones a squalling and a squealing and such as that as she beats on them and stirs. What's she doing? She's running them out of their comfortable place so they'll grow up. And that's what sometimes God does in our lives when He stirs our nest to get us out of our comfort zone. To where we'll go on and grow up for Him. Amen. Well, she does that, and out goes those little eagles. They don't have that nice, soft, warm place to sit down in. When they sit down now, maybe they're sitting on an old cold rock, hard and cold. And so, but still, this man that preached that sermon that I heard said that sometimes the little one just would not fly. Just would not fly. And he said this is what would happen. That she had spread abroad her wings, taketh them, bearing them on her wings. Now, I've not verified this. I'm just telling you what was told in that. And if it's so, it sure is keeping with that verse of Scripture. And so, he said that she would sit down there and spread her wings, and that little one would get up on her back. And when it did, she'd leap off of that cliff or wherever it was, and she'd begin to soar. If you've ever seen an eagle, that it just looks like they're floating on the air. I mean, they can just go up. Listen, they don't run for somewhere. When the storm comes, they just set their wings for higher heights, and they go up above the storm. And so, the little eagle's on her back, and she's flying, and she's hoping that little one will get off. But all of a sudden, she'll just shut those wings, and pew, she'll drop out from under that little eagle. It's in my mind what that little eagle would do. Yeah. Do you think so? That's what she wants him to do, is spread his wings so that air will catch him. Right. And what she knows is that she can fly faster than that little one can fall. God's not dropped you off somewhere without a parachute.
Amen.
He's there. If it's God that has stirred your nest and made you a bit uncomfortable where you are, He wants you to move up somewhere a little closer to Him.
Amen.
He wants you to get somewhere that you've never been before. He wants you to soar in higher heights than you've ever been to the glory of God. What a God we have. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Well, let me tell you today that God's not only got wings like an eagle, and God's got wings that are swift. He's got wings that are so swift that you can't get in trouble but what He can get to you before things go too bad. Is it all if I use the illustration that you told me about the passenger pigeon? I already had some of this, and then unbeknownst to your pastor, he gave a good illustration. But I believe that God's wings are so swift that He can come to where we are quicker, if you will, than we can get in trouble. He's already there. I have no doubt that He's there, just like that eagle is for her young. But my son was telling that he had heard about passenger pigeons. They had turned some passenger pigeons loose at a particular place, and they went to a particular place, and it took them a certain length of time to get there. And when they estimated their flight, the speed of their flight, it was 150 miles an hour. Now, they said that apparently this was unusual. They said the passenger pigeons did have little ones back home, and they thought maybe that they flew so fast with a message so they could get back home to their young. But I read about a swallow. And I mean, that's pretty fast, 150 miles an hour. And my illustration that I had was of a swallow where I'd read a story about it. And it's not that fast. The best I could figure out, a swallow just flies about 90 miles an hour. And a swallow lives about, this story that I read said a swallow lived for about 10 years. And in the length of time, that swallow flew so much, they said in the 10 years of its life, that it probably averaged flying around the world 89 times in its lifetime. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to relate it to the fact that I'm saying God has swift wings. And I counted this up. If the world is 26,000 miles around, as they say somewhere about that, if that swallow flew as much as around the world 89 times, that would have been 2,314,000 miles that it would fly in a lifetime. And yet, with the swallow or with the passenger pigeon, our God is swifter than that.
Amen.
His wings will come so. Listen, you can't get away from God. He said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there."
Amen.
"I will take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand shall hold me."
Amen.
"Even there thy hand shall hold me." I want to tell you today that when you think about getting in trouble, you think about having a problem, God can get to you before that problem can get to you.
Amen.
He did it with Daniel when Daniel's in the lion's den. They dropped him in, and before he hit the floor, God had sent an angel and stopped the mouths of the lions.
Amen.
I don't know where Daniel slept, cuddling his head on one of those lions or not. I don't know how it was, but I know when the morning came, they had not put a paw on him.
Right.
They had not put a tooth on him.
Right.
And he was there, and God was glorified.
Amen.
I read in the scriptures to where that there was three Hebrew boys, we call them, was cast into the fiery furnace. It had been heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. They threw him in the furnace, and God was so swift, His wings were so swift that He got there before the smoke touched him.
Amen.
Much less the fire. The smell of the smoke, does the scripture not say it? The smell of the smoke was not even on them.
Amen.
After they walked around in the fire.
Amen.
With the Son of God. I don't know how they knew who that was in there, except they said it's like unto the Son of God. And it came out unscathed, unhurt. And thank God today he was there. He came in one night when one of his preachers was in jail. And he came in one night and the guards didn't see him. And he come through the locked gates.
Yep.
With his angel, he smote Peter on the side and said, "Get up and get out of here."
Amen.
Peter thought he was dreaming.
Yeah.
Peter thought he was dreaming until he got on the outside and realized, "I'm not asleep. I am awake. God has delivered me." That's the kind of God that we have. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord that we have. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. And by the way, can I tell you this? A grace that would come too slow to help us, Brother Q, wouldn't be grace at all. It'd be disgrace. Thank God today that He comes and He helps us. And He strengthens us.
Amen.
And He blesses us. God's wings. His wings are so broad that they'll receive anyone.
Amen.
They'll take anyone, whosoever will, let him come. I praise the Lord. His wings are so broad that they can cover up all of the scars that we've had from sin.
Amen.
They can cover up all of our hurts.
Yes.
And they can smooth it over. Thank God those wings of the Lord. The nest may be hard. And all of this, as we was talking about the eagle. But I want to tell you one thing. What's softer than a feather? What's softer than a wing? And it's just amazing to me how that God does things. Not only are the wings broad and swift, but God's wings are gentle wings.
Amen.
When I think about this, I think about that mother bird. The little ones are crying. The little ones don't know why the mother bird is gone.
Yeah.
But after she don't know that the mother bird has slipped away for a little while for their good.
Right.
But later on, when they come back, she don't even have to say, "Open up." A bird, had you ever looked at a little bird when it opens its mouth?
Yeah.
Its mouth's the biggest thing about it.
That's right.
I mean, it's just like a funnel.
Yeah.
It just opens its mouth and trusts mama to put in it, and it eats what mama puts in there.
That's right.
And so then, how content those little ones are as they come. And there's nothing softer than a feather. My wife and I, the other day, we've got a board fence around our backyard, a 6-foot privacy fence. And we've got a bird feeder out there, and we've had some doves that have been coming in. And back earlier in the spring, I happened to walk to the patio door and look out. And there sat a bird, a dove, and it had its back to us. And I imagine that it was a mating dance, if you want to call it that. I don't know what it was, but it done something that I'd never seen. I got to see that dove's wings. Its wings, of course, its head would be up here if you see my hands, and its wings come up like that. And I'd never seen this, and maybe you have, but it done its wings up like that, and the individual feathers was going that way, and it was... They was fluttering so fast that it, and they was different colors as they did it. And as those wings were passing by, it looked like they was moving so fast. You know how you could just see a little bit of a shadow as it goes on. And at the same time, its tail come up and went out like a peacock, and was doing the same thing. One of the most beautiful things I believe that I've ever seen. My wife, I was able to call my wife, and she came and looked out the door, and we stood there and watched it for maybe a minute or something. And it was just so beautiful. And I couldn't help but to think about how that God shows Himself great. He's looking for a bride. And my friends, today he's doing what he can to say, look at me. Look at what I am. Look at me. He's not bragging, but at the same time, he's bragging because he knows that he's the greatest. And he wants you to see him. He wants you to recognize how he is and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, how he'd take you under his wings, how he'd put you on his back and carry you away if you would only trust him. Amen. That's what Ruth had to do, was trust him. Trust him. David said, he shall cover me with his wings. And as I think about that, it's a place of protection, a place of care. Amen. Don't you imagine those little biddies feel so safe? Don't you imagine as they're there that they feel so cared for? I read a story one time about a prairie fire. And after the prairie fire had swept through this farm, a man walked out there and he said, there sat an old hen right up at a fence row. And he said he thought it was unusual with everything burned off around her. And he couldn't understand why the hen didn't move. And he said he just kind of took his foot and prodded her just a little bit. And said when he touched her, all of the feathers just fell open, fell apart. She had burned up. But under there, out from under that, those wings, came her little biddies, came her little chickens. The hen gave her life so that the little ones could live.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, yes. He gave His life.
Amen.
That sinners could live.
Yes.
And He's just saying, like we sung in the song, come unto me.
Amen.
Come unto me. And if you'll come, you'll find out that His wings are safe.
Amen.
Though thou exalt thyself like an eagle and set thy nest among the stars, yet will I bring thee down, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to tell you today that God can protect. God can bring destruction to our enemies.
Amen.
God can bring safety to us.
Amen.
But in order for Him to do so, we must come to Him.
Amen.
We must come to Him. As we face these last days, I believe there's going to be more troubles.
Yeah.
There's going to be more problems. There's going to be more that we're going to have to face. But I want to tell you today that God is there for us. You can trust Him. He's a friend, as the Scripture says, that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a God that will protect us. There is deliverance in the wings of God. There's safety and care. There's salvation, mercy, peace, and comfort under the wings of God. Are you safe under the wings of God? If you're not, as we stand together tonight and we get an invitational hymn, would you not come, lost person, and trust Jesus as your personal Savior? He wants to save you. He's willing to save you. He would receive you if you would come. And child of God, is He stirring your nest a little bit? Is He wanting you to do something for Him? Do you wonder why you're no longer content where you are? If you believe you're right with God and you're walking with Him and yet you're not comfortable with what you're doing and where you are, could it be that He's stirring your nest? Would you like to come and ask Him what He wants you to do? I promise you that He won't ask you to do something that He will not give you the ability to do. He's able. As we sing the song, your pastor's going to be here. Would you come tonight and let God help you?